Direct your attention to our scripture for today, a really interesting one. It's from Matthew chapter 13, beginning at verse 24. Hear the word of the Lord. Jesus put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds?' He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' So the servant said to him, 'Then do you want us to go and gather them?' But he said, 'No, lest in gathering the weeds, you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at the harvest time, I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first, bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into the barn.' Then he left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples came to him, saying, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field.' He answered, 'The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the word, world, and the good seed is the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the close of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so it will be at the close of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers, and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear." May only his word be spoken, only his word heard. Amen. A simple of teaching of Jesus. What do we do with the weeds? How did Jesus teach? How did he teach? He taught with parables. Matthew 13, earlier. Jesus spoke all these things to the crowd in parables. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. So what is a parable? It is a true life story, true to life story, that makes a powerful point and can cause people to repent, change their life. Now, most people think that Jesus told these stories so simple people could clearly understand his message. Haven't you heard that before? This isn't true. This isn't true. Jesus quotes Isaiah 6 in saying why he used parables. That those who reject God would ever be hearing but never understanding, ever seeing but never perceiving. You see, we don't interpret parables. They interpret us, and they reveal the state of our hearts before our God. For those seeking God, seeking Jesus, the parables provoke blessing through repentance and faith. To those not seeking God, seeking Jesus, the parables work judgment, hardening an already callous heart. The parable of the weeds can and should be appreciated by anyone who's done the least bit of gardening. Those of you who are gardeners are familiar with Murphy's Law of Gardening, are you not? It reads this way: when weeding, the best way to make sure you're removing a weed and not a valuable plant is to pull on it. If it comes out of the ground easily, it's a valuable plant. And the corollary of this maxim goes like this: to distinguish flowers from weeds, simply pull up everything. And what grows back? will be weeds. People who study horticulture say that in Jesus' time, and what he was probably referring to was a weed called the bearded darnel. Darnel. In its early stage of growth, the bearded darnel so closely resembles wheat that it's nearly impossible to tell them apart. And even as it grows, what happens is this weed wraps itself around the wheat. And so, if you pull it out, you're likely to pull out the wheat. And so it makes sense of what Jesus was saying in this parable. So one clear point of this parable is that only God knows a weed, unbeliever. And only God knows a true wheat, a believer. Unfortunately, there are people who forever and a day are trying to pretend that they are Christians. Pretend that they are wheat. But in reality, their hearts are far from him. They fool people all the time. You may have been fooled by a person who claimed to be a brother and sister in Christ and really weren't. But God is watching, and he sees the heart, and he is never, ever, ever, ever fooled. We can fool people. We can't fool him. Another strong and frankly scary point is that a judgment is coming. The weeds will be pulled up. They'll be burned in a fire. People will be cast into a fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I can hear the protest now. This is the God of love? It's not fair. This is horrible. I refuse to believe in that kind of God. I don't believe that kind of God exists. But this is exactly what Jesus says in interpreting his own parable. Are we going to say, well, wait a minute, we don't accept those words of Jesus. We'll throw out those words of Jesus. So what words are you going to throw out? Well, I don't like those words. Yeah, but that's what he said. So you're only going to like the words you think Jesus said that goes along with you. But it's not fair. You say, who are you to claim God's not fair? Who are we to claim that? Are we to question his fairness when he sent Jesus to die on a cross for us? Talk about unfair. I mean, what did he owe us? And yet he did this for us. When you reject Jesus, what you reap from almost every parable is condemnation. And I say that with a heavy heart. But in light of what we just heard from the teaching of Jesus, the clear teaching of Jesus, I have to ask you a most important question. I have to ask ourselves a most important question. And this is really significant. Are you a weed? Are you a weed? I think we have to ask ourselves that. You know what's ironic about these parables of Jesus when it talks about farming and good soil and all that? Do weeds grow well in good soil? Oh, yeah, they do. Weeds grow really well in good soil, just like flowers and wheat grow good in good soil. How do I know I'm not a weed? If you want to know if you're a true Christian, then I have found this to be a good test, a good way of knowing. How do you react to the trials and testing of your own life? If your prosperity ends, if you're mocked for your faith, if you have an illness and a tragedy, do you flee the faith, distrust the word, separate yourself from fellow believers? Is that what you do? And you know, the trial and temptations of life can be just the reverse. When everything is going well, when you're prosperous and healthy and successful, do you say to yourself, and that, by the way, is a temptation. Do you say, I don't need God, I'm doing good, you know, I'm doing great. You don't trust His word, you separate yourself from fellow Christians. You flee Him. Let me ask you this. Are we destined to be weeds or wheat? Is it all predetermined? There's an esteemed Bible teacher and church consultant that I used to read, and he would say unequivocally that 16% in every church were made up of people who will not change. Their hearts and their heads are calloused. They are weeds. So it made me think, are we born that way? Is there such a thing as bad seed? This is when we have to take the full word of God into play and understand such things. Believers desire wisdom and knowledge of God, and they will find it in His word. So, I ask, are people born bad or good? And the clear answer from Scripture, is that we're all born with original sin. Spiritually, we have to be reborn. Our default setting at birth is to go away from God. And I think this is very obvious. And I'll see it with my grandchild too. Do you have to teach a child to say, okay, little Sally, it's time to learn about lying? Do we have to say to little George, hit your sister again, that's what she needs? Or how about that little Johnny who throws himself down in the aisle at Kroger's and throws a monster fit after dumping over something? No. Did you teach them that? Did you say, we're going to go to Kroger's now, and she's chime? Go ahead, throw yourself on the floor. Huh? Did we do that? Of course we don't. It's our default setting. We have to say, whoa, stop that. Good parents know they've got to mold their kids. Tell them to stop the things that are displeasing to God and to you. But praise God, He comes to us, He seeks us, and He gives us promises, baptism, the Lord's Supper, and His word, that actually change us. But what of those who have gone a long way from God, from Jesus? People who know they are weeds. Well, listen carefully now to the word of truth. 1 Corinthians 6. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Now listen to me very carefully. Listen to what it says. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Let me translate what that's saying. God turns weeds into wheat. It's the miracle. God does that. Come to Him repenting, confessing, pleading for mercy, and you will surely have it. Say Jesus is the Son of God and your Savior, and you will be saved. Come to Him believing, and He will transform you. As a church and as fellow Christians, we cannot look into people's hearts. Christ did not come to condemn people, but to save them. And so it is with us. We've come to save people, not condemn. Now, most people know this statement, judge not lest ye be judged, right? And lots of times it's thrown at us Christians, right? Judge not lest ye be judged, you know. In other words, we can do all kinds of manner of things and stop judging us. And a lot of people think Christians are self-righteous judgers of others and trying to impose our will on them. But I think this is often a misunderstood statement of the Scriptures. The Bible clearly tells us that people who claim to be Christians but act overtly and publicly against God's commandments are to be judged by us. We are to judge them so that we care enough for them to confront them so they repent. But we are not to judge the private motives of people. So let's say someone in our midst murders somebody. Should we confront them? Or should we say, well, I wish we had done that, you know? No, we confront them, right? Yeah, depends. We should confront them. But what if someone hates somebody in their heart? We don't know what's in their heart. We can't judge that. So much of what is judged among us Christians sometimes is the private motives of people. How do you know what they're thinking? How do you know what was in their heart? That's the kind of judgment we shouldn't do. And even the judgment of overt sins, we should do with the idea that we can win them back. Now, what about those outside the church? Scripture clearly tells us about this as well. What business is it of mine to judge those outside the church? Are you not to judge those inside? The answer is yes. God will judge those from the outside. Expel the wicked man from among you. The wicked man is overtly doing wrong. And when everybody can see it, it's public. It's not a private thing. And why do we expel them? To win them back. That's the whole purpose of any kind of church confrontation. It's because we want them to know eternal life. True disciples of Jesus do not delight in separating people. Like our Lord and Savior, we desire all to come to the knowledge of the truth and be saved. The greatest joy in my ministry has been to witness or to see, experience people's eyes coming open and seeing the truth and having their ears unplugged and hearing the call of Jesus to believe in them and receive all the good things he means for us to have. This parable gives us a challenge. Most parables do. We who believe in Jesus have the challenge to be earnest and very urgent in proclaiming the gospel to all people. We don't know when this miracle is going to happen, when a weed will become a wheat. But we do know what can cause it to happen. The Word of God. God says, my word will not come back to me empty or void, but will accomplish the purpose for which I sent it. Isaiah 55. You know what the Word of God is like? It's like a bullet. And it can aim it right at people's hearts. And something happens. It's not our persuasion. It's not how glib we are. It's not how great my sermons are. Not anything like that. It's that God's Word does something. It's miraculous. What can you imagine going over your garden and seeing the weeds and just speaking God's word to them, and they become flowers and wheat? I would love to do that. You know? Woo-hoo! You know? God says, be changed, you know? And poof, that would be something, wouldn't it? But in a way, that's the way God works. Only he uses us to speak that word. You know what? We don't know what season people are in. The uninterested, the distracted, the unresponsive may be nearer to the kingdom of God than we realize. And we don't know what's going on in the life of people. You don't know how desperate, you don't know how needy or frightened they may be. They may be afraid of death, and we don't know that. And another thing we don't know what's happened to them in their life. We don't know what happened to them as a child or as an adult. We don't know the kinds of things that cause them to be sour and heartbroken and now so alienated from God. We don't know that. But we have a powerful tool. You know, in my own experience, when I've seen people come alive and their eyes open, their ears opened up, and they change, it's generally been in times when they've experienced serious illness, personal crisis, bereavement, divorce, personal defeat, job loss. It's as if they see themselves for the first time as they really are. Very needy people, like we all are. And they're ready. They're ready for the seed to just bloom. But this has also been my experience, and this is the sad part of it, the other side of it. Sadly, I have seen people who resist the gospel and the good things that Jesus would have in mind for us over and over again until they become old. And rarely do those people become Christians. They're so used to resisting God, they've become hard and callous. And why do I say this? Because if you're young or you have children, listen, it's very important that they come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior now, while they're young. Because if they grow up resisting when they're young and keep at it, where they become like concrete. Oh, can God's word penetrate that? Yes, it can penetrate that too. God's word can break up any soil, no matter how hard. But it just happens less and less as people get older. This parable is meant for you and me. But here's how I react to this parable. Personally, I say to my God, I will repent of my sins. I will pray that you increase my faith. And Lord, I will be your agent. I will. And I'll speak your word. Give me more courage. Make me bolder. And I want to see more and more weeds become wheat over and over and over again. And I ask you, will you join me in this? Will you too be his agent? Will you repent of your sins? And will you ask for that incredible faith that God wants us to have? I pray the answer to that is yes. In the name of Jesus and to his glory, amen.